first episode of my podcast. And if we haven't met, I guess I just want to introduce myself. My name is Jacob Rowland. I am a musician, and I've worked in spiritual communities for a big chunk of my life. And it's been interesting because I've been really fascinated with just that place where music and art intersects with spirituality. But for me, my spirituality has grown and changed and evolved over the years. So it's been a really interesting journey to figure out how to continue to be a person who likes to bring spirituality and the idea of community around that into my life, and to really be able to talk about that as much as possible. But at the same time, I'm changing, I'm growing, and I'm finding new ways to look at life and new ways to look at myself and find connection. And so I've really had this question for a long time, which is, how can we live in community with each other while evolving spiritually, while being in maybe different places spiritually and internally? And I've certainly had the experience of being a part of a spiritual community where I didn't feel like I could be my full self. I didn't feel like I could show the evolution that I was experiencing, the growth that I was experiencing. And so I had to hide who I was. And certainly that's especially difficult when it's tied to a paycheck and it's tied to friendships and relationships that you fear fully showing yourself. But I do believe that at our core as humans, we don't just want to be loved, but we want to be known and loved, not just appreciated, but appreciated for who we truly are. And yeah, there's a little bit of external validation there, but I think that's just a natural part of being human. And so it's even been a little bit of a challenge for me to record this first episode, because I really want to get it right. I really want to get it right, and I want to really give people a sense of who I am and who I've become. And again, that's that desire to be understood. And so it's a little difficult. And I have recorded this episode probably 7 different times. And so I said, going into it, this is going to be the last time. I'm just going to, whatever I say in this one, I'm just going to release it. And I'm actually sitting cross-legged on a yoga mat because I thought that would help. So we'll see if that has anything to do with it. But we all, in our one way or another, have this feeling of wanting to be known. And as we grow, we want to be known for who we're becoming. And I can remember some of the most beautiful and challenging moments of my life were those conversations where I felt like I was revealing a new level of my truth to someone, whether it's people in my family or friends, having these conversations where you're saying, hey, I know that for a long time we've had this relationship and you've known me to think a certain way. Maybe we met each other at a church or as part of some type of way of thinking. That's how our relationship was built. And I just want you to know that I am the same person that you know and love. I care about you just the same. But, you know, my thinking has changed, and it's actually something that's excited me to come into new ideas and new understandings, and I want to share it with you. But, you know, it's scary because I don't want you to feel disconnected from me in any way. And 9 times out of 10, those conversations open up a new layer of truth and honesty. And maybe 6 or 7 times out of 10, that very person has something they want to share with me that's very similar. So, you know, I really enjoy the space for those conversations. And I think of this podcast as sort of a natural extension of that, as a way to just talk about these evolutions with people that I've inspired by, people that have been there for me in that journey, and then to be able to share that with more people. And it's really something that I have to talk about. You know, I can't help it but talk about spiritual growth and personal growth and that way of evolving and changing, because it's just so essential. I mean, maybe the word spiritual doesn't do it for you, but really what I'm saying is that we all have these core ways of seeing the world, these core ways of relating to each other, relating to self and reality, this shared experience of life. And yes, change is scary, and it's a vulnerable thing to talk about. And no one's a pro at change. And especially when it comes to these deep, deep ways of relating to the world. But the truth is that we all evolve and we all grow. We can't control the way that other people are going to relate to it. And we really, I think at the deepest level, can't control it in ourselves because it's something that's pulling us forward. We don't decide when it's time for us to evolve and grow. It's that we're being invited into this new level of growth. I love, one of my favorite Alan Watts quotes is that we are under no obligation to be the person we were 5 minutes ago. And that may be a little crazy to wrap your head around, but if you really think about it, we are changing moment to moment. We are getting new information. We are having new experiences every second. And it always is changing us on a micro level, but over time it becomes a macro level of change. And the truth is that when we live under an expectation or an obligation to stay the same for another person, we're actually fighting this flow of energy, of new life, of moment-to-moment changes and newness coming into our own lives. We're fighting that. And it's like damming up a river, and that water eventually becomes stagnant and filled with mosquitoes when it could be free and flowing and clear. I know you know that feeling of having experiences, even on a day-to-day level, that slightly shift and change the way you see the world. And if we're not open to this moment-to-moment newness, over time we lose that feeling of life. Life is unexpected. Life is surprise, and it's the beauty of it. The thing about growing, the thing about evolving is, as scary as it is, it's actually one of the most natural things. You know, evolution is one of the most core processes of nature. And the interesting thing about evolution, forgive me for getting a little dark for a second, but evolution is driven by death. And really it's that for certain traits, for certain attributes, for certain parts of our unique just physical and internal and mental abilities to evolve and to grow and to be highlighted, other things have to die off, that some traits survive and some traits don't. And this is just, you know, in the sense of macroevolution, this happens over millions and millions of years, but it's also on a metaphorical level just so true that for new things to come into our life, for new understandings to come in, for new core beliefs and ways of seeing the world to come in, other things have to be let go of and die in a way in order to make room. If you want to bring it into kind of one of the most well-known spiritual religious stories, you have Jesus, who is the most well-known example of resurrection, but his resurrection comes through a death. And so he is resurrected famously on a Sunday, but he dies on a Friday, and you only get to Sunday through Friday. And so there's this natural cycle that happens that to get to this place of new life, you have to allow the old to die away. And this is just apparent in our seasons, right? In nature, for us to experience spring, you need fall. You need things to die. And then you have winter, which is kind of that barren place of no life. And then from that space comes spring, comes the room and the space for new life to come about. When have you had those moments where you watched yourself become a new person over time, but you could sense and you could see that you were coming into new ideas about yourself and the world, and this was an exciting thing, and you realized that you had at the same time let other ideas go, ideas that weren't useful and helpful to you anymore. And in a way, you were becoming reintroduced to yourself, and you had to then reintroduce yourself to others. And I think the flip side of all this talk of evolution is that it takes the pressure off to ever need to arrive to a single place or a point where you have it all figured out. That if you're always growing, you never need to get there, quote unquote. Where is there, right? You know, even as a young person from a young age, I always said, life's a journey. Life's a journey. Or we're all along for the ride, you know. It's not about the destination. But I still believe that. And for me, I think what that journey's become, or how I look at that journey now, is that it's a journey of constantly learning and at the same time constantly unlearning things that were enculturated into me, things that society gave to me that aren't necessarily true. And so we learn and we unlearn and we awaken. We wake up to who we truly are, not just who society tells us we are, or through certain traditions or systems tell us we are, but who we truly are, who we know we are deep down. And I think the beauty of that is that, and I know you know this, we're never done. We're never done. How boring is it to just arrive and be done and then that's it? I've become so inspired by people, friends of mine who are maybe in their late 30s, 40s, 50s, who are just getting started, that their spiritual, personal journeys are really just beginning, that they saw things one way, and maybe it was scary when they had to let that go, but now they can start to open up and entertain so much more, so much new, so much mystery that they maybe didn't have space for before, and it really revitalizes and rejuvenates their life and the way that they look at their life and the growth, and that they maybe are in the middle or even later parts of their life, and yet they're not done by any means. So for me, it's hard to separate the idea of spirituality from the idea of evolution. And even that very concept is an evolution for me. I didn't think that way 5 years ago, 10 years ago. And if you don't consider yourself a spiritual person, or maybe the word spirituality is a trigger, maybe spirituality makes you think of religion and you don't have a positive association of religion, I totally get that. Or maybe it's the opposite. The word spirituality is very woo-woo to you, that there's no grounding, or it's very abstract, and it doesn't feel like there's anything truly rooted tied to it. I also get that. But when I use the word spiritual, I'm really just talking about if you want to reduce it to the simplest, most basic material understanding of it, it's just this core sense of connection to yourself, to others, to the planet, and from that place, a sense of gratitude, of wonder, of awe at just the gift of being alive. And from that place, I've found that you can have atheists or completely unreligious people that can be incredibly spiritual. Maybe for you, spirit is a synonym with that deepest inner self, that higher self that you've become more connected to over time. And so again, regardless of how you look at spirituality or religion, if your worldview has evolved over time, if you've watched yourself go from a kind of self-centric, self-centered way of looking at the world, egocentric, and maybe then you shifted to community-centric, tribe-centric, that your tribe and your people were kind of the center of the world. And over time, you kind of shift and move and grow and to a place where you start to see the whole planet as your community. That development, I call it spiritual. Call it what you want. I think it's a beautiful thing. And that's really what I'm talking about here. For my story in specific, I did grow up in evangelical fundamentalist religion. For me, it was Christianity. Maybe you relate to that. Maybe you're a person like me where you've had tensions for a long time. you have tension still. It's not all bad. It wasn't all good. It's a mixed blessing. Maybe that's you. Maybe you're like me where you look back and you see that being involved in a structure like that was very helpful and was beautiful for a specific stage of development, for a time and a space in your life when you really needed that. I mean, for me, getting involved in church when I was about 10 years old and really being super involved in that world until pretty recently, I see all these ways in which it really expanded my view of life. It gave me a community. You know, church or religious structures at their best, at their most fruitful, at their most healthy, can foster and create space for a healthy type of community. It gave me the sense that I could develop a personal spirituality, that I had the power and the authority to seek out my own spiritual experiences. I mean, I was taught how to pray. I was taught how to have practices. I was taught just that it's not about just gathering, but it's also about my internal life day to day. And I think that was a great encouragement. You know, and that encouragement often came from mentors, and having older, wiser voices speak into my life was a new thing for me. And it's something that I still cherish and has grown with me. And it's something that being involved at church at the age that I was came from that. For me specifically, as a musician, I had the opportunity throughout my time being involved at church to practice this skill, to learn this art form, to work on my craft. It literally gave me a stage to do that. And without that, I don't know that I would be in the place I am and have the love of music that I do. I think most of all, in a more cosmic kind of universal sense, it gave me this feeling and this essence and this understanding that there's a bigger world than just mine. You know, I talked about moving from self-centric to planet-centric, and it's just that. It's this understanding that there is a bigger world, a bigger story, and it's not just my story. It expands your framework. And I look back and I see that being involved in church from a young age gave me all these things. For that, I'm grateful. For that, I don't look back and have regret or resentment. But as we evolve through life, as we meet all kinds of people, as we start to see the diversity and the vibrance in the world, that this is a huge, huge world, and there's all kinds of people living in it. There's been all kinds of people throughout history, more than we could understand or comprehend, and even that humans are a relatively new piece in the puzzle. And just all these understandings came, and I felt myself evolving. And over time, I started to recognize that there were parts of my religious tradition, the way that I understood it, the way it operated within me, this fundamentalist way of looking at my religion. As these things evolved, I started to recognize that I was in a bit of dissonance. I felt tensions. I couldn't resolve the fact that I was evolving in my understanding of things, and yet the way that I had held religion for such a long time was now starting to be in conflict with my own internal compass, which is interesting because as I started to look at the Bible, I more and more saw it as an evolution of consciousness. You know, in the Old Testament, you have some really archaic understandings of life and archaic understandings of God. And then by the time you even get to the New Testament, you have a massive leap in consciousness with the ideas that Jesus is presenting. And so throughout the Bible, you have an evolution happening. You have new understandings coming in. And Jesus is someone who I think we often misinterpret because we think of him as the founder of some kind of religion, where in reality, he wasn't starting a new religion. And in a lot of ways, he was at odds with his own religion, so much so that he was killed for it, because he was encouraging people to choose love and choose a more inclusive, open way of viewing the world, and seeing the often marginalized and unseen. And he was encouraging people to take that path over just following what might have been written down or following what might have become tradition. There's a quote by Barbara Brown Taylor, who's actually an Episcopal priest, and she says, "The only clear line I draw these days is this. When my religion tries to come between me and my neighbor, I will choose my neighbor. Jesus never commanded me to love my religion." There's a bit of a mic drop there, but it's, for me, it really encapsulates this idea that we are always being pulled in the direction of love. That is where consciousness is going. And so, as I felt myself being pulled in that very flow, I began to have more and more questions and found myself more and more at odds with the way that I had for so long held my understanding of religion. And I began to ask myself, can I be a part of a spiritual community that doesn't have room for people with sexual or gender identities different than mine, that doesn't fully affirm and accept and empower gay people, transgender people? Can I be a part of a spiritual community that doesn't treat the earth, doesn't treat our planet as something that is so vital to our existence, something that not only are we directly connected to, but we come from it, that it is the very source of life? And there has never been a time more pressing than now for us to understand this. Could I be a part of a community that didn't have space for the beautiful ideas coming from different religions, the beautiful understandings that come from science? Could I be a part of a community that followed a religion whose interpretation and expression in the world became so tied to the West and so tied to America? You know, in America, we're told that to be a conservative here in the West is to be someone that follows the Bible. But as I begin to see the rich history and tradition and the complex in many ways that there have been interpretations of the Bible and many expressions of Christianity, I began to wonder if it wasn't that being a conservative meant following the Bible, but that our understanding of the Bible had become intertwined and intermingled with what we think of as these conservative values, that the Bible had become co-opted to support a specific set of values that maybe it wasn't really ever made to support. You know, just a little side note, whenever religions and empire become intermingled, you have a problem, because at their core, most wisdom traditions are born from a place of being in resistance to empire, of being in resistance to the material values of the day. And from these understandings, I really began to ask myself, could I be a part of a community that advertised that they had the absolute truth? When more and more I began to feel that reality is relative. What might be good and fruitful for one person might not be for another. What might be a step forward for one person might be a step back for someone else. It might be unhealthy for one person, might be completely fine for someone else. Everyone's unique. Everyone's on their own journey and they're in their own place. They don't need to wrap their head around my religion to be healthy. Maybe they are perfectly fine just as they are. Well, hey, everybody. I'm so grateful that you're listening to this podcast. If you like what you hear, if it's inspiring to you or thought-provoking, it just means a lot to me if you would subscribe, and that way you can stay up to date with what I'm releasing on a week-to-week basis. Also, it's extremely helpful if you could give this a 5-star review. It just helps make this content more visible to others. And you know, again, if these topics are interesting to you, I want to let you know I'm also releasing music that covers a lot of the same ground, talking about spirituality and being connected to the earth and all that. And I'm releasing music on all the streaming platforms under my name, Jacob Roland. It's J-A-C-O-B-R-O-L-A-N-D. And on Instagram and Facebook, the pages are Jacob Roland Music. So again, you can follow those. There's some cool content I'm posting there. It's going to be unique to those spaces. So again, thank you so much for listening. Let's get back to the podcast. Through all this, I still loved spirituality. I loved Jesus. I loved community. And for me, instead of just throwing out all these ideas, I found myself coming to a place of expanding, that rather than trading one belief system for another, I found myself opening up to have space for things that I would have used to think of as contradictory. One of my favorite ideas or quotes, you could say, is that when we're coming into these spaces, we're learning how to transcend and include. And it's this idea that as we evolve, we're not just evolving to a new level and getting rid of the understandings that came at all the previous levels, or we're not turning around and rejecting who we were. You know, when I just turned 27, and it doesn't mean that I turn around and reject who I was from 26 previous. In fact, all of those ages are still within me. And yes, I see the world differently than I did, say, 5, 10, 20 years ago. But I'm not rejecting who I was, I'm including it. Another way of looking at it is that, say you were about to go into the sixth grade and you're about to learn things in a brand new way. It doesn't mean that you throw out everything you learned in fifth grade and fourth grade and third grade, but you are going to learn and build upon everything you knew, and yet you're going to continue to grow and experiencing things in a more nuanced way that you wouldn't have been able to understand a year prior. So for me, and how this relates to spirituality and religion, I entered into a space that many people describe as kind of progressive religion or mystic religion. And I think once you get to these spaces, labels become arbitrary. But when I came into this space, for all of the questions and tensions that I had before, I began to realize that there were a new set of understandings that I could come to that created the space and grace and understanding and openness for all my tensions. That here in this place of expansive spirituality, experience is valued more than doctrine. That I can trust my body and I can trust my intuition over simply something that is written down or something that has been a widely held belief. You know, our bodies are amazing and they're capable of amazing things and they're doing amazing things even as you're listening to this, that they are so self-sufficient. You know, they have evolved over millions of years to this amazing level of complexity. And yet there are fundamentalist expressions of religion that kind of discount the experience of the body, that it's often said the flesh is evil, that we are not naturally good. And yet, look at how amazing our bodies are and that there's this wisdom carried in them. And yet, the books, the scriptures, the wisdom texts, the Bible, these aren't bad things by any means. These are amazing tools. I look at them like maps. Maps can give us a lay of the land. They can give us information and let us know what to look out for and help us really get a sense of where we're headed. But a map is not the territory. Looking at a map isn't going to give you the same experience as going on a hike through the mountains or driving along the coast. A map is helpful, but it doesn't give you the sense of the wind in your hair and the sun on your skin and the water on your body as you take a swim in the ocean. And when you begin to trust your experience and your body and your time in nature, I think naturally we come to a place where we feel this sense of connection. We feel this sense of unity. And in my experiences of religion, often the story was that we are not inherently united with God, with Source, with the universe, or whatever you'd like to call it, but that we're inherently separated from that. And we need to work and figure out how to get back to that. But more and more, I began to feel so connected to the world around me. And I began to get this sense that it wasn't so much about getting back to this place of unity, but waking up to this place of unity that's always been there, that's been with me this whole time. That's a bit of an Eastern idea, something that comes from Eastern religions and philosophy. And the more I began to appreciate and attempt to embody these different Eastern ideas, I began to more and more sense that all of the great wisdom traditions are saying the same thing. Yeah, it's said through different cultures, through different languages, through different set of cultural stories. But at the end of the day, at their most beautiful and life-giving, all of these spiritual paths and traditions are at their best encouraging us to find a space of connection with self, with other, with God, Source, the universe, with nature, to love, to take care of those who aren't being taken care of by the rest of the world, to live in harmony with the cycles of life, to accept, to be open. And I begin to notice that the people who are the more progressive or mystics within a given tradition, they actually sounded more like the mystics of the other religions than they did the people that came from the more conservative branches of their own religion, that the mystics sounded more like each other than they do with their own religions, and oftentimes. Again, if you're listening to this and you're not a spiritual or religious person, that's just my story. For you, it might be this more broad journey that we all grow on as we develop, where we enter into this world open, that in our youth and our childhood, we're taking in all these different ideas about what life is, and we reach a certain point. Maybe for a lot of us, it's in our early 20s and 30s, where we start to really think that we have it figured out, that we get it, we know what it is, and we have nothing else to learn. And after that space, if we're lucky, we enter into a new type of openness, where we transcend not only the beginning stages of openness, and then the later stages of kind of closing off and being certain and having it all figured out, but then we enter into a new type of openness, where we hold all those lessons and experiences and we keep them with us, and yet we remain open to new understandings. A lot of the Eastern traditions call this beginner's mind, and I think it's a beautiful place to live, a space where we never have it all figured out, but we're always open. You know, whether it's something you label as spirituality or it's just this idea of your life path, we are more and more learning that these things have been monopolized in culture, that we've been told that there's a handful of ways to live our lives, when I think that there are as many ways to approach our lives, our spiritualities, our internal journey. There are many ways to approach that as there are people on this planet. And so we begin this journey of individuation, of honoring our own truth. And I think at its best, it doesn't leave us isolated. It's not individualism in the sense that we're not a part of a community, that we're alone. I think that we need community. I think we need to do this with other people, encouraged by others. But this is where that question came in for me. What if we can live in community in such a way that I'm encouraging you to be the best you, and you're encouraging me to be the best me, and you do not have to look like me, and I don't have to look like you, and my path doesn't have to look like yours. But if you're bearing fruit and I'm bearing fruit, we can be from two completely different trees, but we're just encouraging each other to grow and to bear fruit. And what if we're not so concerned with where people are going, but we're respecting the movement and the growth and evolution that's happening along the way. A friend of mine, Carl, who is going to be on this podcast, he has this great metaphor that it's like these different schools of thoughts or spiritual traditions are like islands, and your island might be beautiful and it might be different from my island, and my island might be beautiful as well. And the concern isn't that I'm trying to get you to live on my island or that you're trying to get me to live on yours, but that we build bridges across these islands and that we remind ourselves that it's safe to travel to different places to experience new things. And yeah, you're going to likely want to have a home base, but it's not about just simply how can I stay on and build up my island, but can I create bridges? And so I want to be clear, I'm not encouraging people to move from a space of conservative religion to progressive religion or anything like that. I'm not really concerned with how you express your own beliefs. You might be an atheist, you might be a fundamentalist, you might be progressive or agnostic or whatever you want to call it. The interest is not that I get you to my island or that I go to yours, but again, that we build bridges and we see the beauty that we're experiencing in all islands. And so it's about trying to be the best you can be. And if a certain expression of religion is helping you to do that, I would never dare tell you not to be a part of that. For me, it looked like moving from one expression to a different type. But as long as we're growing, as long as we're evolving and bearing fruit, that's the important thing. And so for me, doing a podcast is really the hopes of sowing the seeds of that type of community, of encouraging you to foster that type of community in your life. For me, I found teachers and inspirations all around me, and they don't sound exactly like me. They don't just reflect my own ideas back to me, but we share in this common sense of truth and understanding, even from our different places of life. And this is the space for me to have those types of conversations and to share in it with you. Hopefully you enjoy and are inspired by those. I don't have it all figured out. We're all just human beings growing and learning. But I just believe that with everything that's going on in our world today, we need to find commonalities. We need to develop this deep sense of empathy and to come back to this sense of connectedness, that we are one people, that we are sharing this planet that needs our respect and needs our attention and needs us to come back to a deep appreciation of it. And I'm still holding out hope that spirituality in all its forms, at its best, can bring us to these types of places in our hearts. And so that's been my mission, my journey. And I appreciate listening. I hope that as we continue, that you'll continue to check out some of the amazing guests that I'm going to have, who I think really articulate all these things much better than I do. But thank you for taking the time, for sticking with this, and I'll see you next time. Supposed to be, you where you're supposed to be.